magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday, July 22nd, 2015. And the notation I just made, Jason, as you were praying about the power of the Spirit of the Lord to be upon the program and so forth, you were experiencing some power yesterday at Farm and Fleet.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was interesting. They had the mobile, I guess it's the mobile Vietnam wall, which travels around and it's on display, and it's a one, I forget what the exact scale is, but it's a one whatever scale of the original wall that's in Washington, D.C., and it travels around along with a, there's like a missing man vehicle, which stands for the soldiers who we don't know where they're at. We're not sure what happened to them. And it's fascinating. So that was coming through and actually made a stop at Farm and Fleet in Urbana. So the Urbana Fire Department came out and they launched up their biggest ladder truck that they have and hung a huge American flag off of it. And there was over 200 motorcyclists who showed up. And there was just a huge procession that went from Farm and Fleet at 10 a.m. to Leroy to the Kiwanis Park, where that wall is actually on display for the next week or so. And so any listener can go over to the Kiwanis Park in Leroy, and you're able to see the missing man display. You're also able to see the scale version of the wall, the memorial wall. But it was just a really a neat gathering of just patriots. I mean, there was all these motorcycles with these huge American flags waving off of them. When the procession took off, there was a World War II fighter that took off from the airstrip right next to Farm and Fleet. And then the Champaign Sheriff's Department did such a wonderful job of pretty much cordoning off the entire corridor between a Farm and Fleet there in Urbana and Leroy from any other traffic other than the procession. Because the procession at the end of the day was probably with cars and bikes, about 300 vehicles. Hmm. And so it was just this big, long, single-file line. But I know that one of our friends, had said that he thought there was a low-flying jet coming over his house because of this, all of a sudden, this huge rumble as, you know, 200 bikes, 200 motorcycles came by his house there on I-74. Hmm. And so just what a great display of patriotism, of support. I know that a lot of the Vietnam veterans that I know were deeply touched by the significant amount of people that came out, were deeply touched by just this display of the wall itself. And so, you know, in a time right now when our country is, you know, I guess some might say that our country is struggling with what its identity is, or maybe some people in our country are struggling with what its identity is. It is so good to see just some good old-fashioned patriotism, some good old-fashioned flag-waving and just, you know, thank God we're American. Hmm. And thank God that we're followers of Jesus Christ first and foremost. We serve the kingdom, and the kingdom is never trumped by the flag. But we do thank God for the freedoms that we have in this country, and that were hard fought and hard won, you know, by people who gave great sacrifices for this country. I know, Mark, that hits home for you, because I know that you have talked many times about your own father and his experiences. And, you know, there were great costs that families paid on behalf of freedom.
Yeah, yeah. And you being a patriot yourself, you served in, you and Tasha, the First Lady, served in the military.
Yeah, I was in the Army and she was in the Navy, so we try and reconcile that the best we can.
Yeah, it looks like it's stuck and it's working.
It's working. It's all right. You know, yeah. It's okay. Yeah, we both served and, you know, we both really respect and we are humbled by our troops. We're humbled by the sacrifices that our troops make. And I think now it's really interesting with social media and all that, we can see things that we've never really gotten to see before on a grand scale. I mean, there's so many videos out there now that you can have access so easily of, you know, the daughters when the father comes home from being, you know, deployed for a year in Afghanistan or Iraq or wherever he is. And just these homecoming moments that now used to just be shared within the context of a family, now are shared within the context of the internet. And so we get to experience and see these moments and realize, I mean, when a 3-year-old girl or a 1-2-year-old girl or boy sees their dad, which is really formatively for almost kind of the first time. I think of this one commercial that's on. I've seen it quite a few times. I don't know if you saw it, Mark, with the bear. Did you see the one with the bear?
No.
Okay, so it opens up with the father, and he's stationed overseas, and you don't really see what he's doing exactly, but he's putting batteries in a bear. And so whatever it is, the bear records his voice. And so the next scene is the daughter at home, and she's getting a package, and she opens it up, and it's a bear. And when she squeezes it, the bear says, "I love you, baby girl."
Hmm.
you know, and so it kind of goes through, you know, the weeks of her life where she's squeezing and she's having tea with it and she's squeezing it and she's, you know, and all this. And then she comes in the room holding the bear when the mom's on Skype with the dad, and she, the mom turns the computer and the dad goes, "Hey, baby girl." And the girl kind of just looks at him and walks away. And it's kind of really a touching, sad moment. And she throws the bear in the corner, and you can just tell her deep sadness at seeing her father. But then, you know, it kind of segues into later at night, and the mom's in bed, and she opens her eyes, and she hears the bear in the other room go, "I love you, baby girl." And it ends with the girl's on the couch with the bear, I think it is, and she hears, "I love you, baby girl." And she looks at the bear and realizes she didn't squeeze it, and the father comes home.
Yeah.
But when you see it, it's a tearjerker. But, you know, we would say, wow, somebody wrote a great commercial. But you know what? That's not a great commercial that somebody's written. That's real life for a lot of people.
Yeah, and it's being replicated, like you said, on the internet. I've seen so many other wonderful, like, montages, even some of the recapturing the moments of the six recent deaths where they do tributes to the different Marines, and you kind of walk through some of their life story, and it's, like, heart-wrenching.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I don't want to be overtly political here, but I think we've come to just a strange place, again, like I said, in our nation, where we've got strains of people who are against, you know, they're against firearms, they're against weapons, they're against guns, and that's kind of traversed somehow into what the honor and the duty and the things that our troops do. You know, I don't want to start an easy fire, but I mean, I know I saw an article just the other day where somebody was saying, you know, well, isn't that what those troops in Chattanooga deserved? Because, you know, they're soldiers and they killed other people, and so, you know, that's just the way it happens. And I thought, gosh, that's not the way it happens. But you know what? There is a price for freedom. And these soldiers put their lives on the line, but they came home to serve also, and they didn't think that would happen in their backyard. And on top of that, even what happened in Chattanooga, I don't think those soldiers ever would have thought that the national response would have been a strain of people who would feel negatively about what happened. I mean, it's just a strange time in our nation. And all that to say, you know, I don't want to dwell on negative, but I really want to say is that, you know, we just really, when we have the opportunities, we need to renew, show our patriotism, speak up, sing, you know, when a national anthem plays. I mean, we shouldn't be ashamed that we're Americans. We should not be ashamed that we're Americans. We should be proud. America is a great nation. And America's a great nation because America stood on the principles of bring us the widows and the fatherless, bring us all these. I mean, America had these very Christian ideals. I watched this miniseries recently on John Adams. I don't know if you've seen that. It's like 7 or 8 parts. It streams on Amazon Prime for free. But it was all about the formative years of our nation and through the eyes of John Adams. But because he was great friends with Thomas Jefferson and George Washington and all these different people, these people were also in there. And it struck me again and again and again in this how concerned all our founding fathers were about overreaching government control, about how people would feel about government and all these things. I mean, these were on the minds of the founding fathers. Mm-hmm. And here we are today, you know, how many years later, really interacting with some of the very concerns that our founding fathers had.
And in case somebody's just tuning in, yes, you do hear the voice of Pastor Jason Schiffo, my Wednesday and Friday co-host. And because of my illness and the situation, it was best to just keep him maybe a distance away so he wouldn't catch what I've had the last, like, 2 or 3 days. But
I don't need to go to the hospital anymore.
yeah. But I also want to point out, in case maybe they just tuned in and only heard a little portion of the discussion and thinking maybe it's getting political or this guy's overly patriotic, you've said this over and over again, and I so appreciate your stance, that the flag will never trump the cross, and that's where your heartfelt greatest passion is. Maybe elaborate a little, in case somebody just tuned in, your stance on, yes, it's great to be a patriot, and it's great to be an American, and those are wonderful things, but there's so much more.
I think if you look at what the basic tenets are of this nation, they're Christian ideals. I mean, bring us your widows, bring us your fathers. That's the things that Jesus would have said. Brotherly love, that's what Philadelphia means, brotherly love. And so that's the city of brotherly love. And Philadelphia was, by the way, the first city that was given independence from Britain. And so it was the city of brotherly love. We rest on Christian ideals. You know, we talked about in our recent Conversations class, Conversations Matters class, that marriage between one man and one woman was a biblical idea before it was ever a civil idea. And we see constantly those biblical ideals being things that are imported or brought in and become a part of the civil fabric that we have in our nation. I mean, if you're to go through the book of Leviticus and you're to take out the things that are distinctly spoken to the Jewish people. So in the book of Leviticus, over and over again in different parts, it says, say to the people of Israel, say to the sons of Israel. That means that those parts of Leviticus are for the Jewish people. They're for the Israelites. But there are other parts then where God widens it, and there's messages that are spoken specifically to the nations. And those are mainly God's moral attributes. And God's moral attributes in Leviticus are woven into the fabric of our civil structure. Don't steal. Don't lie. Adultery isn't good. Immorality isn't good. Incest isn't good. I mean, all these different things. It's not, you know, run through the Ten Commandments. I mean, those things are not good. That's why the Ten Commandments are there. We should honor our father and mother. We should love our neighbor. We shouldn't covet somebody else's stuff. Because when we covet somebody else's stuff, it leads to the sins of theft and stealing and abuse and divisiveness and all those different things. And so woven into the very fabric of this nation, and I think every prosperous nation, is a Christian ethos, a Christian ethic. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and we have to really, I think as Christians, we have to say, you know what, I love the fact that I'm American and I love these things, but these ideals that I hold true, I mean, and what would the Declaration of Independence say, these things that we hold self-evident, they were biblical long before they were civil.
Right.
And we have to remember that, because that means that God has spoken first. That means God has the preeminent voice. It doesn't mean that the culture, it doesn't mean that all those things get to speak ahead of God. It means that God spoke first. And I think that that's so important for us, because in kind of the stream of conversation that's happening either via the media, via the government, however it's happening, that conversation, we tend to muddle God out of it and forget that he spoke first and he spoke the loudest. In fact, it was his words, it was his voice that shattered what was nothing and brought into it something. In the beginning, God began. And God said, I mean, in that moment, there was nothing. It was nothingness. Ex nihilo is what the Latin says. It was nothing, wild and waste. And God spoke into it. And in that moment, he began to say something and do something. And those things began, the good things in that began to become a part of the very life we love and enjoy. So, yeah, thank God for America and thank God for the flag. But it never trumps the work of the cross, because the flag is a symbol of freedom. Christ is the source of freedom.
Hmm. Say that again.
Oh, you like that, don't you?
That'll preach.
I said the flag is a symbol of freedom, but Christ is the source of freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that in Galatians chapter 5, where it says, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit to a yoke of slavery. And so there are a million ways that some of the messages that are streaming, coming to us, want to enslave us. They want to make us fearful. They want to make us close our windows and lock our doors and draw our curtains and not love our neighbors and not do any of the things that Christ has commanded and called us to do. And we have to go back to the beginning of that. For freedom, Christ has set us free, mm-hmm. which means that as we experience and enjoy the freedom that Christ has given us, we are to go out and to share that freedom with others. We're to go out with the key being the power of the Holy Spirit and the gospel, and help to begin to unshackle others, that they might enjoy that freedom, mm-hmm. that they might not be burdened by the slavery of culture, by slavery of want and need, that they would be set free by Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, as the flag waves, thank God for the flag, but that's not the banner of freedom I live beneath ultimately. And by the way, that's a fleeting freedom, right? Like, the flag, it's going to wave over my life for at best 100 years. I think I saw today there was a woman who celebrated her 104th birthday. And I thought, gosh, the flag has waved over her for 104 years, but she will live into eternity with Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I saw that. And she's pretty perky still at 104.
Yeah, she drinks. They said at the age of 60, she discovered Dr. Pepper.
Yeah,
and so she started drinking 3 Dr. Peppers a day. And the doctors told her, I thought this was hilarious. The doctors told her, you won't live long if you drink 3 Dr. Peppers a day. And she said, they've all died, and I keep going.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's drinking the 3 Dr. Peppers.
And the CEO of Dr. Pepper was smart, because he sent her like a gift basket, and she had a Dr. Pepper cake. I thought it was well put together.
Yeah, he sent her like I think she has. Well, you know, it's kind of a funny thing because the guy came in. I think he said, "We're giving you a lifetime supply of Dr. Pepper in bottles." And I thought she's 104.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how much longer that is.
Yeah.
But then I thought, she drinks three a day. That's a lot.
Yeah, that's
quite. She was pretty sprightly. She was moving around, and she had a good stride in her step.
Yeah, she was sharp-minded, and it kind of encouraged me. It's like, Lord, help me finish well, like Max Norman, some of these other senior saints we both know that are serving the Lord and into their 90s and still with it and engaged and enthusiastic about God. And I thought, you know, instead of just 90, Lord, get me to like 100, 104, still alert, thankful, grateful, and worshiping you.
Yeah, I'm going to start with the Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, she started. Hey, you have like 20 or so years to get to 60 to start three bottles a day.
So if I started three today, could I live to be 140?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, your body will at least be preserved, you know, with that many chemicals in there.
That's true.
Hey, I did a shout-out yesterday about the Conversations Matter, I guess first in a series, because we began with homosexuality and biblical marriage on Sunday night, and I thought you did such a good job presenting. There was a full room, a lot of good questions and interactions, and I think we're going to put something together over the air in the coming week or two. We're trying to kind of work that out. So comment on that, and then also coming August 16th, it'll be the second in a series. And do you know how many actually there will be in the series of Conversations Matter?
No, to be quite honest with you, Mark, I see it going on and on, because I see one of the banes, I think, that we suffer in Christianity right now is that we're hearing a lot of good sermons, but we're not having conversations. So we're doing a lot of talking at people, but not talking with people. And we're not encouraging and really equipping people to be able to have those conversations. You know, we had a Sunday school class, and during the Sunday school class, which was on current events and a biblical view of current events, we went around the room after the first class, and we said, how many of you guys go to the media, the news, your favorite person, and they become the expert on an issue, and everybody raised their hand? And I said, how many people on that same issue have gone to the Bible and have a good, firm view of what the Bible says? And not many hands went up, and it really was a moment for me. In fact, after church that morning, I sought out a couple of our elders, and I said, you know, I think that God just showed us an issue that we have and something that we need to address, and that is that people don't know how to talk about these things, and they don't know where to go in the Bible. And Sunday morning is not a place to be able to handle that problem, because I view Sunday morning as more the air war. You know, Sunday morning is we're glorifying God, we're singing, and we're worshiping, and I'm preaching a message. But Sunday morning is not open for a lot of conversation, because we have people from, you know, all over the spectrum on a Sunday morning. New believers, people who have been following Christ for their whole lives, people who have been following Christ for a little while, people in some really deep kind of crevasses in terms of suffering and struggling. And so Sunday morning is not a place for that. So we need to create a place where we can get together and we can have these conversations. And I view this as, it could be never ending, but at least for me right now, we cover biblical marriage and homosexuality, though I think we only began the conversation, and I really want to try and figure out some places where we can begin to have an even deeper conversation on that. On August 16th at 6 p.m. here at the church, Bob Sievers from Champaign-Urbana has a master's degree in Islamic studies and also has a master's degree in Christian theology. He's going to come and talk with us about Christianity and Islam. He's going to help us to understand that a little bit. Again, that's the beginning of the conversation, because Bob sent me an email saying there are four or five things I could teach. Pick one. And I said, Bob, I can't. I want you to teach them all.
Yeah.
And he said, well, then we have to have five conversations. I said, you bet. That's it. We'll do it.
Yeah.
Abortion is one that I think we need to have a conversation about. I've got some people who are lined up who would love to come and do that. I've got a lawyer who would love to do a conversation on religious liberty. I've got two gentlemen who would love to come and talk to us about evangelism and what does evangelism look like and how do we do evangelism? Because I think that we have sort of an idea about evangelism, but we don't really understand, especially when we're talking about evangelism to, say, people from other countries, evangelism to Muslims, evangelism to people who may have grown up, say, through Hinduism or things like that. I mean, that's an Eastern mindset, which is totally different than how we view and see things. So really, Mark, I see these conversations as continuing on and on, especially since, you know, praise God, the media seems to give us an endless amount of things that we do really need to talk about, because those conversations are happening somewhere. And the worst part about it is that there are well-meaning, poorly informed Christians who are having these conversations because they saw something on the news, and they're not able to articulate really well. And it's really not their fault, but they're just not able to articulate really well what the Bible says. And we need to, as Christians, be able to, the Bible would tell us that we need to be able to share the word, be an encouragement in season and out of season. And so we need to be able to get into God's word. And so when somebody says to us, well, what do you do about this? What do you do? Well, if you're a Christian, what do you mean? I mean, you still do this. And you go, well, wait a second, let me explain it to you. Let me take you into the Bible and help you understand. And you may still not get to a point where they agree with you, but at least you've spoken with authority about the very thing you say you believe in.
Yeah, and what was so helpful on Sunday night's gathering is you had all sorts of handouts and resources and links that people could click on. And you also mentioned there's a Facebook site that people can go to. So I want to alert our listeners to where they could, you know, like it and then have access to many of those links or some of the video footage or some of the scripture verses behind this biblical overview of homosexuality and marriage.
Yeah, so if you go to Facebook, it is Conversations Matter. And that's what you type in, and it'll pop up there. You'll see it looks like the outline of two people, and it says Conversation Matters. And on there, I'm beginning to now post all the content. I'm going to start every day just posting little snippets of content from that, whether it's video, different things that I read, saw, articles, little snippets from my own talk, to be able to help people to start to have conversations. Now, I want to clarify, this is not an apologetic, although it is apologetic in nature. So there is ways that you can defend your faith in this, because obviously we're going to talk about how the Bible frames and what the Bible says. So anytime we do that, we are talking about apologetics. But I don't want us to use it that way. My intention more is that we can have good, well-meaning conversations. Look, I can't sit down with somebody and share the gospel with them and expect them to, number one, respond to the gospel, to, number two, believe in it, to, number, any of those things, unless they believe that I believe it.
Yeah.
You know, it's sort of like my son and I had a conversation last week. He was helping me do some things in the office because I had just had my surgery and I couldn't lift anything. So he came with me. And he was kind of like, you know, you're really in a bad boat when a 9-year-old is your muscle.
Yes.
But he came and he was helping me out. And during the course of the day, he asked me some questions about what different denominations believe, what different people believe. And, you know, we didn't bash anything, but I just said, these are what they believe. And I said, you know, there's some people who don't believe that the Bible is inerrant or infallible or that it's God's inspired word. And he goes, geez, Dad. He goes, that's like a car salesman selling cars who doesn't believe in cars.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, exactly.
Mm.
Exactly. You know, there was a couple of times during that day he said things, and I thought, geez, a 9-year-old has got it.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's on it. So that's really what the conversations are. We'd love to have it. It's free, and it's open for everybody to come. Sometimes we'll have some books and different things to sell, and we're always selling that at the bottom of the barrel price just to break even on what it costs to get them. This last time, I mean, I think we had 5 or 10 different articles and then a listing of another 20 or so resources you could access on the internet for free. The idea is to freely, openly equip Christians to have conversations on these hot-button topics.
And Great News Radio is proud to be helping to sponsor this and promote it, and we appreciate your efforts. I know you spent many hours reading resources, blogs, video presentations, studying God's Word, finding Scripture that will enlighten our minds on how to have that conversation with others. And so if you have a Facebook account, type in Conversations Matter and sign up. And I'm sure that'll be posting the future gatherings, but people can write down August 16th, 6 to 7:30 p.m. at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet, right on Route 47 and Riverbend Boulevard. And I'm sure we'll have more to say about that on Friday and future morning programs. But we got to go, Jason, and hopefully we'll be well enough to meet up in the coming days.
All right. Sounds good, Mark.
All right. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.